We got so many places to go. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Let's see here. Where are we going here? Matthew 24, verse 7. Matthew 24, verse 7. I was in the cancer center just about all week. Met some amazing people who do some amazing work. But as I was walking in and out of the cancer center and watching all these people that were going through surgeries and all the things they've been going through, and there were some people that were in some pretty rough shape. And then there were some that was, you know, were doing pretty good. And so I watched all of this, but I was reminded in this whole adventure, the Lord asked me, where have you got your eyes? Are your eyes on now? Or are your eyes on me? Are your eyes on now? Or are your eyes on the future when I come back to get you? And so I had to admit, Lord, there's times where my eyes get kind of out of the ordinary. My eyes get kind of out of the way. And so let's see here. Let me check this rascal out here. My sermon went zapped into cyberspace. Praise God. Thank you, sermon. That's a good place for it to be. Somebody was praying extra hard. Got my sermon in cyberspace. It'll be a short day. No, it won't, because I preach longer without an outline. Y'all get up and talk to one another. I tell you what, while I'm getting this thing ready, y'all get up and talk to one another. Tell somebody how good they look or how bad they look or something. Y'all get up and find somebody. Walk around. Go ahead and get up. I got, there's going to be a second for me on this. Bringing in the cheese, bringing in the cheese. That's what they sing at the Mouse Church. Bringing in the cheese. Y'all don't forget, go talk to Bethany. Just don't squeeze her, whatever you do. There's more than one way to baptize a heathen. I think we got her now. I think we got her. All right. All right, let's try this again. We'll read this in just a second. This week, as I was looking through and I was walking through my fight, I got plenty of exercise because I was going from the cancer center all the way to the North Tower, back over to cardiovascular because there's people all over the place. And so I was there with Bethany, but I was also visiting. So I was all over the place. So I got plenty of exercise. But as I was going through intensive care and going through all those places, going through the cancer center, again, the Lord just asked me, what you got your focus on? Are you focusing on how you're going to get ahead here, or are you going to focus on how you're going to get ready to get ahead when I come back? And I had to tell him, Lord, sometimes I think my focus is a little off. I know y'all don't have that problem. Yeah. Yeah, I thought about these two elderly women. These two elderly women met for the first time since graduating high school. One asked the other, you always were so organized in school. Did you manage to live a well-planned life? Yes, she said to her friend. My first marriage was to a millionaire. My second marriage is to an actor. My third marriage was to a preacher, and now I'm married to an undertaker. Her friend said, what do those marriages have to do with well-planned life? She said, easy. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. All right. I thought it was funny. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, 15 years ago. Yeah, the first time I heard it was funny. Woo! Okay, the promise. Turn to Matthew 24. Stand for the reading of the word. I'm not going to keep you long today. I always say that, and you always think, well, what do you count as long? Amen. In basketball, just a minute means another 15 to 20. In football, a minute can mean 30. When your head is being held underwater, a minute should be less than. Amen. Matthew 24. I could have made this into a three-parter, but instead I just left it as a one-parter. And so I don't have a whole, I got a whole lot of bones in here, and you got to find the meat for yourself because I want you to get this. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall it be the coming, or so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Stretch forth your hands this way, ask God for a special touch. Anointed Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your precious, precious touch, your anointing. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way. Let us meet with you today, God, as you meet with us. Lord, you want us to have it more than we want it, Lord. You want us to be ready more than we want to be ready, God. You want us to have your power more than we want your power. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, line up our wants with yours. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen. Let's shake somebody's hand on the way down and tell them God's got this. Amen. Amen. So real quick like, all right? Just a quick one. All right. some of y'all are doubting me. All right, let's see. Ready? All right, y'all leave. I'm playing. Yeah. Here we go. The promise. You know, if you look through the Bible, one of the biggest things you're going to see, matter of fact, look, I got kissed. You're going to understand this in a minute. I'm not talking about the band kids, right? Had their picture up there. What subject is mentioned in the Bible? Matter of fact, one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament. What is it? Somebody want to guess? What's mentioned one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament? Anyone want to take a guess? It's not money. It's not love. What is it? Well, Jesus is good. It's his return. One out of every 25 verses in the New Testament has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, see, there it goes. So what I want to do is kiss. I got kiss up here. That's why I'm saying we'll make this kind of a skeleton. Is keep it simple, saint. All right, we're going to keep it simple today. And I want you to pay attention closely because there is some discrepancies back and forth about the second coming of Christ. And then when you're reading the Word of God, all I want to do is I just want to explain something to you. The second coming of Christ, or the day of the Lord, is not one day, but it is a series of events. All right? Remember this. It is a series of events. And because it's a series of events, watch this now. Here it is. Watch this. See, the Bible doesn't give every detail about his return. It doesn't tell us every nook and cranny, and much of the prophecy is still clouded in mystery. And some of the things that people used to talk about years ago, I remember as a kid watching on Sunday afternoon, preacher getting up talking about all these things, the mark of the beast and all this stuff, and I'd be scared to death, be under the table looking, and I'm thinking, well, how are they going to do all that? And now, it's so simple. Now, everything's right there. Everything is so easy for it to happen. Look at all the things, the lining up of the nations and the intelligence of people, how it's growing and the knowledge and wisdom and the computer and all this. And so still, it's sealed up to the time of the end. So again, there's going to be some of the things we've been hearing about, you know, that we really can't put clear until actually now. In this generation, especially in this last hour, you can look at look at Russia. You can look at Iran, you can look at Iraq, you can look at Syria, you can look at all these things in the Middle East, you can look at how they're really against Israel. You'll see how this is the end time, and this is the end of the end time. There was a clock, and midnight was the time he's coming back. We're seconds before midnight. That's how close we are. So one fact is clear. Watch this now. Jesus is going to return to the earth again, visibly, literally, and victoriously. And here's going to be a picture of his return. So I'm just going to be kind of quick, and I'll stop a little bit every now and then, and we'll chew a little bit on it, but then we're going to keep on going, all right? So let's go ahead and go with this thing. There's the second coming, and there's the rapture. Now, here's where the big mistake comes in. Here's where the big controversy happens. This is where people get all mixed up. This is where people say, well, how can this be happening? If he's coming for the rapture, then how can this happen? If he's coming for the second coming, then how can it be in the rapture? So watch this. Remember, it's a series of events. It's the day of the Lord. Okay? So it starts with the rapture, and it ends with the second coming with 7 years in the middle. All right? So here it goes. I'm going to show you the difference. Now, the rapture, Christ comes for his own. He comes, he snatches us up, we're taken away in the rapture. And let me just stop for a second and tell you, the rapture's not in the Bible. You say, well, where's rapture in the Bible? The word rapture is never found in the Bible. But if you look up in the Greek version, or the Latin version of the Bible that was written early on, one of the first translations, the Latin Vulgate. In the Latin Vulgate, the word caught up, which is in Thessalonians, and you see it caught up in several places in Corinthians and in Thessalonians, the word caught up is harpazo. And harpazo is rapio. And rapio is where we get the word rape. It's also where we get the word rapture. It means to take away something violently by force, something of virtue violently by force. So in a negative way, you think about rape. In a positive way, you think about rapture. So that's exactly where that come from, as we get rapture from. So first, in the rapture, he comes for us in the second coming. We're coming back with him. In the beginning of 7 years, he's coming to take us. All this stuff happens to us, the Bema judgment seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we come back with him at the end of the 7 years. The Bible says also in the rapture, believers are taken to the Father's house. But in the second coming, believers come from the Father's house to earth. In the rapture, he is only seen by believers, but in the second coming, every eye shall see him. In the rapture, let me get my fingers right here. There we go. Hit the wrong button. Don't you hate it when that happens? Judgment begins at the second coming. It's the end of the judgment. It's the final. He's getting ready to take care of business. In the rapture, it's still a mystery. But in the second coming, it's foretold in the Old Testament. Again, in the rapture, he casts Satan from heaven to earth. In the second coming, he binds Satan and casts him into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. In the rapture, he comes as a thief in the night because you don't know when he's coming. But you'll know when it's for the second coming because once he comes, you got 7 years to wait, and then he's coming. All right, unless there's a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, A-trib. There's so many kind of tribs. You know, I heard one guy talking about Jesus was looking down on earth, and he was trying to come down to rapture his church, and the angel said, when are you going? He said, as soon as I can figure out all these charts everybody's written, when I'm going to come back. All right, so watch. He don't need our help, amen? So, in the rapture, it signals the beginning of the tribulation. The second coming signals the end of the tribulation. So remember, the rapture, the second coming, it envelopes, or it is the bookends, to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is the day of tribulation. That's what John saw on the Isle of Patmos when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It means literally, I was in the Spirit, and the Lord carried me to his day, the day of wrath. And so he was allowed to see what was going to go on in those 7 years. So that's the day of the Lord that he saw. So now, with that in mind, now let's go ahead a little bit. Now I'm going to talk about just a few of the places that we can find in the Bible that talks about, you'll be able to see the difference in the rapture and the second coming. Okay, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be a glorious return. Why is it going to be a glorious return? Can you imagine the power? I've seen lightning strike. I've seen lightning strike light lines. I've seen lightning strike buildings. I've seen lightning strike and transformers blow up. I've seen it strike vehicles. It's done a lot of things. There's been ball players out on the field struck by lightning, and they were immediately fried right there on the ball field. There's been guys also that were hit by lightning and knocked their hands and their feet off. That's how hard it hits. Can you imagine? Lightning can stop your heart. Lightning can just fry it and it's over with. Lightning has so much power behind it. Kind of makes you wonder why an old man would get out there with a kite and a string and a key. I found electricity. Yeah, didn't your mama teach you better than that? All right, so it's powerful. So the coming of the Lord is going to be powerful. It's going to be so powerful that it's going to shake every house where his believers are. It's going to shake the graves where the people are buried. It's going to shake the sea where they're buried. It's going to shake the, look, some of us, pieces of us are all over the place. They're all going to come together all at one time. So it's going to be powerful. And this lightning is going to be prompt. Lightning's here and it's gone. The most powerful force in the world is here and it's gone just like that. And then parted is going to be taken away. So first, the coming of the Son of Man is going to be a glorious return. This is the rapture. Y'all say rapture. Secondly, come on there, buddy. We got you. There you go. Ready or not, I'm coming back. It's an unexpected return. Because Matthew 24 and 44 says, "Be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, I don't know exactly what you're going through right now, and life just keeps changing. I was thinking about this week. I had no idea that Sunday night, I mean, we already had Bethany in the emergency room on Saturday night, thought she was having a heart attack. And the doctor said it wasn't. It was from the inflammation of the cancer. And so that was okay. But then on Sunday, she broke out in a rash here at church. And I'm colorblind. I couldn't see it. But it got so bad by the time we got to the hospital, I could see it. So that, I mean, it just looked dark. It was just there. I could see it. And she wound up staying in the hospital till almost Thursday, till late Wednesday night. Matter of fact, they built her up. She hadn't been eating, so they built her up on these steroids, intravenous steroids. We come home, and they got the prescription messed up, so she went without steroids for a day, and she went down quick. And so we got a little saying around the house. It's all fun and games till the steroids run out. Amen. She's been joking, y'all. It's okay to joke with her. She said, "I hate that you're losing so much weight." And she said, "Well, that's one of the perks of cancer, Dad." I said, "Where'd you get that humor from?" And she looked at me and said, "Do I have to ask?" Okay, so the Bible says Jesus himself doesn't even know when he's coming back. He's waiting for the Father to tell him. So again, rapture. Y'all say rapture. Okay. Not only is it an unexpected return, I told you it's not going to be long. It's going to be a little return. You see, the Bible says in Acts, it says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee," this all these two angels, "while you stand gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven." Here's the problem I see in this day and time. We got people running around trying to find signs. They can't get, I mean, the latest sign, the latest, greatest, they're there. Got to get it. And when that sign's gone, here it goes. Guess what? God never said believers follow signs. God said signs would follow believers. Amen? So if we would get busy working for God, the signs would follow us. Amen? Quit looking. I look up in the sky all the time and say, "Lord, is this day you can come back?" You know, sitting up there in the cancer center at night, you know, looking outside or going outside the hospital and standing outside and looking up. It looks a whole lot different than it does standing on a possum track looking up. You know, and I'm looking up and I'm thinking, "Wow, with all those lights and then the airport putting this banner out there, or its light, a search light, and you look and think, wouldn't it be awesome if the next time that thing went around, Jesus was riding on it?" And I said, "Come on, let's go home, son." So look, it's a literal return. It's not something made up. It's not something that makes a song sound good. It's literal. It's going to happen. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. It doesn't matter if some of these people try to tell you that he's not. It doesn't matter if these Kingdom Now guys tell you that that's not going the way it's going to be, that we're going to work our way into the kingdom and it's just going to all blend together. No, rapture, to take away something virtuous by force. That's the rapture. He's going to reach down and he's going to break it open. He's going to sound a trumpet and then we're going to rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to join them on the way. So watch this. It's a little return. Now it's a little return, but it is a... Come on, buddy. You can do it. There you go. How do you like that? You're sitting there watching TV and somebody comes in and robs you blind. How'd you like that to happen to you? Come right in your house, take everything while you're sitting there sleeping, watching television, got a cup of coffee in one hand, remote in the other. The Bible says it's a sudden return. 1 Thessalonians says that for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, here we go. Again, you see, it says the day of the Lord. So remember, now we're starting to transition. We've got the beginning, the rapture. We got the end, the second coming. The day of the Lord is in between those. This is the day of the Lord sandwich. Rapture is one piece of bread. Second coming is the other piece of bread. And the meat is 7 years tribulation. That's a hard thing to chew on, isn't it? Get it? Meat and sandwich. All right. Y'all were looking so intense. I was trying to break it up just a little bit. Look at this. I was sitting there and I was thinking about the characteristics of a thief. Why did he say that he's coming as a thief in the night? And so as I began to think about it and I began to pray about it, the Lord just spoke it so wonderfully to me. And here it goes. Here it is. A thief looks for inconvenience. Not his, yours. If a thief's coming after you, he's not going to come after you while you got guard dogs around you and while you got a gun in your hand or while you got your finger on the alarm or you got 911 dialed and on speed dial and you're ready to go. Matter of fact, don't ever put your 911 on speed dial. If you can't remember 911, something's wrong anyway. But Linda, one time we were in Virginia. And we were in Virginia and we were at Appomattox Courthouse, which is not just a courthouse, it is a city, a little city. And so we're in Appomattox Courthouse, we're going through all the buildings, and Linda and I are there, and all of a sudden we're going through one of the last little buildings. We saw where Lee and Grant they signed. He gave in and said we surrender, and we were looking at all this stuff. We go through the last little place we're walking through. As we're walking through, all of a sudden, my wife's phone rings, and she says, "Can I help you?" And I couldn't hear the conversation, and Linda went, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine. No, I'm sorry. I had my phone 911 on speed dial, and I just butt dialed you. No, I'm fine. Yes, there's a man here with me, but he's not telling me to say that. I am fine." And they said, "Well, the police is around the building." No joke. My wife butt-dialed 911. And in Appomattox County, they don't play. They thought I was harassing her and they were coming to get me. And we went to the next door. There were the police. So if you got to get down 911, I hope you're in Appomattox County because you'll get quick answers, just like that. So, you may have convenience, but the thief is looking for inconvenience. First, he's looking for an inconvenient time. Not his inconvenient time. His time is the midnight hour because you're going to be asleep. You're going to let your guard down. You're not going to pay attention to what's going on. You're sleepy. You're tired. You just lay right where you're at. And so during this time, watch this. This is when the thief comes in at an inconvenient time. And he comes in to take an inconvenient treasure because if he was coming, I mean, isn't it cool? You could put out some bait somewhere so he would take that and leave and all your good stuff's left. Put the fake jury out over here and he picks it up and leaves and leaves your good jury alone. You know, put some whatever over here and he comes and grabs it and leaves. No, he's going to take something that's going to inconvenience you. He's going to take gold. He's going to take silver. He's going to take your watch. He's going to take your phone, your whatever it is. And so the thief looks for an inconvenient time. He looks for an inconvenient treasure. And then when he gets through, he's left you with an inconvenient trouble because you weren't expecting to lose some very valuable stuff. And so now you're having to regroup and re-get yourself together because of all this inconvenience in your life. I can guarantee you when Jesus comes back, it's going to be the inconvenient time when you least expect it. And if you're not ready, then it's going to be, watch this, he's going to take an inconvenient treasure, because he's going to take your children. He's going to take those that are ready. He's going to take those in the grave. He's taking them all. He's taking those that are ready. And so you're going to be set back with an inconvenient trouble, because now you're set back wondering, how did I miss it? What was going on in my life? How did I miss Jesus coming back? So it's a sudden return. Now I'm almost through. Now, here we go. Let's go ahead and say now. Somebody say second coming. You ready? Second coming. I love this. The Bible says in Jude, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, all the way back at Enoch, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and that all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. When Jesus comes back, remember, in the rapture we go up. We're changed. Now we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now we have the beam of judgment. Now we receive our rewards. And now, when Jesus comes back at the end of the second coming, he's on a white horse, his vesture dipped in blood. He's called the Word of God. He's coming down, but now we're coming down with him. You might listen, can you imagine, how many here are scared of heights? You won't be then. How many here are scared of horses? You won't be then, because you're coming down with him. Amen, isn't it cool? We're coming down, and we're going to be bad to the bone. Amen. I wonder if that's going to be the name of the song that they're playing when they come down. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. And that'd be cool. So a judgmental return. Say the second coming. Say it. Second coming. It's going to be a global return. I'm going to tell you something that might shock you. It would shock a lot of people. Get ready. I love this. Believe it or not, Jesus isn't an American. I'll let it sink in for a minute. We have an American night. Well, do you know we have Americanized pizza? Do you know that chop suey is not a genuine Chinese food? You know where chop suey came from? Chop suey came from when these guys come over in the early 1900s, 1800s, 1900s. Late 1800s, early 1900s, they come together to put Chinese food open at restaurants, and they had stuff left over. So what they did was they chopped it all together and threw it together and called it chop suey. And everybody's loving this chop suey, this genuine Chinese food that came from America. Do you know if you ate genuine Mexican food, genuine Italian food, genuine, well, you can get some genuine Italian food and Mexican food if you get the right restaurant. But if you get this stuff now Americanized, it's all got us in it. Well, we got Jesus looking like he's from, you know, I don't know, North Carolina, Tennessee. We got him looking like this guy that was born here, raised here, got it made. You know what? Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew. People arguing, is he black or white? Is he black or white? Is he black or white? He's a Jew. There was these two preachers, a black preacher and a white preacher. They were arguing all the time about it. Was God black or was God white? Was God black or God white? And one day they're on the way to a conference. On the way to the conference, they get in a car wreck because they were arguing about whether it's God black or white. And so they get in a car wreck and they're on the way to heaven to get up to the gates. And they said, you know what? Now we'll find out if he's black or white. And they looked and saw the great big old throne over there. And they saw the angels around it. Said, there's God right there. And so they walked around and said, I tell you, he's black. No, he's white. He's white. He's black. He's white. He's black. They come around the corner. As soon as they come around the corner from the throne, they heard, que pasa ese? Y'all slow. Now, Jesus is not American. Jesus is a Jew. But all the world's going to see him, because all the world hates Jews. But at this time, all the world's going to bow down to him. Amen? It's going to be awesome. Get ready. I'm almost through. I know y'all say, yeah, you say that all the time. Well, I got you this time. Come on, buddy. You can do it. There we are. I love it. I'm just going to read this. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which are in the heaven followed behind him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, so with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's not my words, that's his words. Thus saith the Lord. The first time he came as a lamb. The next time he's coming as a lion. The first time he come, he was humble, and he was led by people. Next time he comes, he's going to be fierce, and he's going to lead us, and I can't wait. Amen? Now, you'll see the second coming. All right. Now I'm just going to go ahead and jump back in. Watch this now. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This scripture is so awesome to me because I was doing a study, and I was doing a word study. I looked at that word comfort. Comfort one another with these words. That word comfort in the Greek means to be strong together. Wow. Things are looking rough in certain places, but we can be strong together because we know God's got this. There's everybody's got something in their life that they wish that they could change, but they can't. Be strong together. Trust God through it all, and he's got it. And here I'm getting ready to close it up. Watch this. I love this. Get ready. Ready? The end. Jesus wins. The end, Jesus wins. No matter what you're facing, the end, Jesus wins. Isn't that cool? Keep your eye on the eastern sky. Keep looking. The older I get, the more I look for him. The more things go on, the more I look for him. You know, it's just amazing. I was sitting there the other day and I was thinking about Bethany, and I was thinking about other things, and I relieved Linda. She was one night, I was the next night. We were there all day with her, and she had the night before, and I was going to take this night, and so I was going to relieve her, and as I relieved her, she was on the way home, and on the way home, her dad had to wind up going to the hospital. So instead of going home, she went to the hospital and sat with her dad in the emergency room, who was having heart problems. And I was thinking about all that, and I said, Lord, this is crazy. You got a mother with Alzheimer's. Her dad's got these heart problems. You know, fibromyalgia. Bethany got cancer. Blah, blah, blah. Just everywhere. And I said, Lord, how's all this going to wind up? How's this going to happen? Because I know you're not going to tell me, but I'm still going to ask. And the Lord said, don't you know that I could come back before any of this happens? Said, you're right, Lord. He says, yeah, I can come back before anything else happens. So you just look for me. Watch for me. I got this. Live life in view of eternity. I remember Mama and Daddy were getting ready to retire, and Daddy had all these big plans for his retirement. And then Mama started going downhill, and it started with diabetes, and it moved to cancer. And so she was in diabetes and the cancer, but it was getting her, and she was going downhill fast. And I noticed Mama, who had all these big plans for retirement, all of a sudden quit worrying about retirement and saw things differently. Now she lived life in view of eternity because she knew she was going to be going home soon. And I watched my Mama go through this, and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm getting a very valuable lesson here. I need to keep my eye on the eastern sky. And then finally, this could be the day. This could really be the day that he returns. Wouldn't it be so awesome? If you're ready, it's awesome. If you're not, the next 7 years are going to be some rough times. You think it's rough now. And even that, the first 3.5 years are called the tribulation. The second 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The first 3.5 years is going to be bad. It's going to be so bad that you can, it just beggars your description, beggars the description, the things that are going to happen the first 3.5 years. But just when you think it can't get any worse, the second 3.5 years, and it's even worse. And so I'm glad that my ticket's punched, that I'm ready. And I ask God every day, Lord, if this is the day you come, I want to be ready. Help me not be held down by junk that doesn't matter. You know, I was riding along yesterday, and Bethany has not been getting out. So I've been trying to at least get her to ride with me. And sometimes she tries to walk in. Sometimes she just sits in the car. That's fine. And I'll take her with me around town. And I carried her with me last night. And we're going along, and there was the big old stoplight in Washington. It takes like, feels like it takes 30 minutes for it to change. If you get it right then. So here I am waiting for it. Man, pulling up in the light, I can turn. But the car in front of me, for some crazy reason, stops. Why does it stop? I mean, the light was green. It stopped. And I said, I can't go anywhere because isn't Bethany sitting here with her head held down. And she's telling me her arm's hurting. I wanted to get home and get her some medicine. And she's like this. And I said, then finally when the guy stopped right at the green light, then he decided to go. And after the time he went, it turned red. And I said something like, I know y'all be surprised I would do this. How hard is it to know the difference between an accelerator and a brake? And a green light and a red light? Is somebody absolutely lost their mind, or are they stupid? And Bethany goes, really, Dad? You're upset about that? I looked over at her holding her arm, leaned over. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm worrying about a stupid red light. And she's over there trying to hold herself together so we can get back there. Again, what bothers you? What's you letting tear you all to pieces? Keep your eye in view of eternity. Come on, BJ. God is awesome. If God allows you to go through something in your life, know this, that He has a plan. If He's allowing it, He's already got a plan for it. And if He's got a plan for it, there's a beginning and an end. There's always going to be a beginning and an end. If He's got a plan for it, there's a beginning and an end. And the cool thing is that all along the way, He's got something mapped out to bring you relief and to bring you strength and to bring you hope. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. I don't want to be, y'all remember the very first Christopher Reeve Superman movie? And Lois Lane falls out the building, and she's falling to the earth, and Superman jumps up, and he picks her up, and he says, don't worry, I've got you. And she looks down and says, well, who's got you? Remember that? That's pretty cool, right? I don't want to live my life when God's catching me, when I'm looking at going, well, who's got you? He's got it all. Trust Him. Trust Him. If He's letting you go through it, there's a plan. If there's a plan, there's a beginning and an end. And there's the ability in between to go through what you got to go through. It's there. It's there. It's there. Everybody that's standing. Now, with every eye closed, every head held down, I'm going to ask a very simple, pointed, deliberate question. And I want you right now, without worrying about anybody watching you, nobody is, but without anybody, if anybody happens to see you, it don't matter. Matter of fact, they may be hanging in the same balance you're hanging in, and if they happen to see you, it may give them strength to do what you're going to do. If you're here right now, very deliberate, very honest, because this is as real as it gets, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about something before, and then I want you to respond. If you're here right now and the thought of Jesus coming back scares you, if you're here right now and the thought of Him coming back today terrifies you, and you don't know if you would go if He come back now. Nobody looking around. I want you to be honest with yourself and God. Not me, not the rest of us. Honest with yourself and God, because this is for keeps. This is playing for keeps. If the thought of the rapture taking place today terrifies you, and you can say, I don't know if I'd be ready to go or not, but nobody looking around, and I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to embarrass you, would you raise that hand and say, I don't know if I'd be ready or not? We're going to get ready right now together. All of us together, okay? I want every last one of you to repeat after me. And if you are ready, this is just insurance. It's extra. This is just going to put some extra icing on the cake. Repeat after me. Lord, I am not ready to meet you in the air, but I want to be. You told me if I would confess you as my Savior, repent, that you would wash me clean and I would be rapture ready. Right now, God, I admit I need you. I want to call you Lord. I want to be ready. I confess, I repent, and I'm holding on to the promise. Lord, I thank you this day that I am now rapture ready. If the rapture should take place when I walk out this door, I'm going. Say it, I'm going. I'm going. It's not by how you feel. It's by what you know. If you've asked God, if you repented of your lifestyle and you have come to Jesus and you confess Him as Lord and ask Him to forgive you, guess what? You are rapture ready. I thank you, God, for all things. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One more thing. If you're here today and you just need to talk to the Lord, the altars are open. If you need to talk to Him, the altars are open. We're going to talk some more about the second coming over the next couple of weeks, but this was just an introduction. You got a prayer you need to spend some time in the altar? The altars are open. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Come back on Tuesday. We're talking about God's purpose in our lives. It's been really awesome. Plus, we get to have cake. You really get a chance to have cake and eat it too. Amen. On Tuesday nights. Come on. It's fun. We got a great group of people that are awesome. And God just uses them very powerfully. There's a lot of talking back and forth. We get a chance to intercede and intervene. And it's really, really awesome. And also next Sunday, if you know somebody that might be teeter-tottering or they're not sure about the second coming, come on, bring them with you. We're going to be talking about the second coming of Christ for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome. And it's bad. I can't think of anything any better than being ready to meet Jesus. Amen? Amen. Matter of fact, part of what I do now, when I go to the hospital, if somebody's not doing good, no matter who they are, if they're not doing good, I don't even wait anymore. I just ask them, if Jesus should come back tonight, are you ready? If you should die before you leave this place, are you ready? I've had people say, you're getting kind of in my face, ain't you? And I go, yeah, I hope so. I said, because I've walked away and somebody died and I didn't ask them. And I felt bad for a long, long, long time. So I ask them now. I ask them. There's nothing like, listen, I'd rather embarrass you than not tell you. And I stand at the judgment seat around the throne as you come up to be judged. Nah, no. So, come on, next week, talking about second coming, Tuesday night, talking about God's purpose in your life. Isn't God awesome? And if you get lost, if you're lost spiritually, Jesus can find you. If you get lost physically, this man will find you.
Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for preparing the way so that all we have to do is believe in you and everything will be answered for us and you will lead us to be with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.